This is Live and Local. It's your connection to local performance. And on today's program, we have a quartet of gentlemen called the Young and the Fretless. They play old-time mountain music, and they'll be giving a show on Sunday afternoon at Strawberry Fields in Urbana. That's one of the many performance venues in my promo for the show. I mentioned that it seems that the type of venue is almost limitless. You can go from big concert halls, such as at the Krannert Center in Urbana and elsewhere, to restored movie theaters like the Virginia Theater in Champaign and the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts in Bloomington and elsewhere, or you can go as small as a natural food store, which is what Strawberry Fields is, and stick some players in a corner and they can entertain the folks that come in who may be shoppers, they may be people who come in specifically to hear the band. And Sunday, it'll be the Young and the Fretless. They're with us live on the show for the hour today, and I'm looking forward to a good time. Hope you will be too. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's a group called the Carolina Chocolate Drops and Snowden's Jig, a genuine Negro jig, as they call it here, and that, in fact, is the name of the disc heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They're a group that had an interview with them. Dom Flemons is one of their three members, there's three in the group, probably a couple of years ago, and then they came to the Elnora Guitar Festival at the Krannert Center just this past September. And heard here on Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, host of the show. We're here with you every Monday through Friday from noon to 1. And on the program today, we have a group called the Young and the Fretless, who are going to be playing at Strawberry Fields Natural Food Store this coming Sunday. From 1? What is the time?
11 to 1.
Oh, 11 to 1. Okay. I didn't write that down, and I couldn't remember where I had written it down, and I was going on memories. It was saying in the afternoon. 11 to 1 on Sunday, and it says here on your Facebook page you play old-time mountain music on the prairie, and of course no mountains here, so I guess my first question is, what constitutes mountain music? I mean, I'm guessing that the music I just played could partly be constitute mountain music. I don't know if you could hear that from here or not.
Yeah, well, this is an Appalachian Mountain string band traditional music. So a lot of the tunes that we're playing have been learned from musicians playing in the mountain areas of North Carolina and West Virginia, Tennessee. So it's Appalachian Mountains music that typically played at work parties, corn huskings, and barn raisings, and dances, and typically banjo fiddle. Originally just banjo fiddle. Originally just fiddle, actually. Then the banjo joined, and often was just a banjo fiddle player. And then the guitar became popular, and they added that third instrument. And
yeah, I hear people, there are people who are still bitter about the guitar being added to the ensemble. because, you know, when you have just fiddle and fretless banjo, primarily, you have these notes that fall in between the pitches that something like a piano or a guitar can play. And so there's also this body of tunes where you look at them now and people have transcribed them, and people kind of decide, well, this is a C sharp here, this is a C natural here, and originally it was kind of like a C and a half, weird non-tonality.
Which is easy to get on a fretless instrument and not so much on a fretted one. I realize I should actually introduce you all in the band. The voice we heard first, that is that of Tom Bassett, who plays the fretless banjo and banjo ukulele. And I see you've got one of those. I'm not sure I knew that one of those things existed. The other voice, second voice, is that of Matt Croissant, who is the the new-ish guitarist of the Young and the Fretless. It formerly was Will Hope, who is off in the far east, so to speak, the far northeast of the United States, up in Maine, doing a visiting professorship. And the fiddler is Lyle Konigsberg. Am I saying your name right?
Yep.
And the bass player, Chris Strand, who also plays in the Hot Iron String Band and elsewhere, probably.
A couple other projects, The Curses and Old Number 7. And
oh, whoever. You're one of the guys in Old Number 7. That's a group I've had my eye on, wondering if we ought to have you guys.
I'm the singer-songwriter in
there. You're the singer-songwriter.
Yeah, I play guitar in that band. But please,
you guys
have
haven't. We haven't been on here yet, have
no.
you? We were discussing before we got going that I sort of forget sometimes who's been on and who hasn't. Well, why don't we just let you guys launch into a tune, and then we'll have something to respond to.
Great. We're going to play a tune called Last Chance.
And the Fretless live here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. They'll be at Strawberry Fields Food Store, Natural Food Store, Sunday from 11 to 1. Have you all played there before?
Yeah.
We're kind of regulars.
How does that work as a venue? Because it's a pretty small space, and they're by no means the smallest performance space in our listening area.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of. There's a corner by the shopping carts that you sort of smush into to leave as much table space open as you can for people to sit and listen. It is not a large performing area.
There are about 8 tables, and there's a cafe where you can get coffee and pastries and sandwiches. And so people come and sit down and just listen, or sometimes they just shop and listen and smile, and they walk by, and we're happy. We're just having fun.
Do you find that people do come in just to hear you?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
sure.
Every time I've
Matt's
I've been
mom.
There. Well, yeah. but no, I think every time I've played there, I've seen a set of people that tend to show up for the kind of 11-to-1 performances. So there's some faces you see almost every time I'm over there playing. But yeah, it's a nice place to play, and it's a nice place to kind of hang out. Great food.
So is that, I mean, do they usually have somebody from 11 to 1 playing on Sundays?
Sundays and Saturdays, yeah.
Because I know, I guess I've not really put it all together that they regularly have somebody. I know they often have some people.
They have so many different bands performing or individual musicians that we play just once a month, right? So there are eight possible, seven other bands or musicians playing. So it's...
I can think of two of them offhand. What's the name of the bluegrass duo? Grassroots Revival.
Oh yeah, Jamie and Michael.
Jamie and Michael. They I've seen them there a few times, and I can never quite tell if people are in there paying attention to what they're playing, or if they're just shopping. Yeah. But I guess that's a potential advantage to the store to have you guys there. So,
well, hey, the owner in, likes to have live
something.
Music.
Yeah.
We've seen people dancing down the aisles every now and then. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah.
You know, as long as they don't knock things over. Right?
Well, we play a waltz, sort of end the set, and that's when they start to dance, and they don't get too rowdy with the waltz.
Is that literally true? I mean, people do
yeah.
do dance
yeah.
in.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, that is tight quarters then. Lyle, as the original mountain man, so to speak. I mean. By which I mean, you know, Tom said that this all started with the fiddle solo. Mm-hmm. How much of that do you ever do? Do you do some solo fiddling?
No, because it's too high risk. I started as a banjo player, and I just started playing fiddle because there was a bit more demand for it. So I actually consider myself more of a banjo player.
Do you guys ever do banjo duos?
No, we haven't done that.
Yet.
As opposed to dueling banjos? Right.
No.
No, but it's a possibility.
Well, there's two banjos sitting right here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in different tunings.
Oh. Yeah, that would be a problem, wouldn't it? How did you get into this sort of thing?
Well, I grew up in Virginia, so I heard this music a lot when I was growing up. And when I was 13, I sent away to Sears and Roebuck and got a banjo. And then when I was 18, I started playing fiddle, in part then because I realized that was kind of where the action really was.
So that's a long time to be playing fiddle. I mean,
I'm only 22 because I'm on the radio.
Oh, yeah, okay. The gray hair doesn't show in the radio.
He's not the youngest, so the youngest in the fretless.
Well, there's the young and the fretless, and there's those with gray hair, those with dark hair, and those without hair.
Yeah.
In the case of Matt, who probably has some, but you wouldn't know anymore because it's all shaved off.
Yeah, it would definitely be there if I let it grow in, really.
Mm-hmm. I see evidence of some of it. Now, I'm always curious how folks like yourselves get to be doing what you're doing, and also what you do when you're not doing this. So coming back to you, Lyle, what do you do when you're not playing the fiddle? Or?
I'm a professor in the anthropology department.
Well, that seems like it ought to be kind of appropriate.
It is.
Does your work in anthropology have anything to do with this music you're playing?
None whatsoever. No, most of my teaching is actually in the medical school, teaching anatomy.
How does that figure in anthropology?
I'm a biological anthropologist. So I study bones and teeth and some of the stuff on the bones and teeth.
That sounds like you could be somebody that would figure into one of those crime shows on television.
I do a little consulting work too, but not much.
Of that sort?
Yeah.
So some of the stuff that goes on things like CSI and so on is actually based on reality?
I don't actually watch those programs, so I don't know.
I've heard that from doctors who don't watch shows like House or... although I've heard that Scrubs, the comedy medical show, is some medical person told me once that that's almost more true to life than some of the more serious ones. But this is, a bit of a digression that nonetheless. And Tom, you're also a professor.
I'm a professor in the same building as Lyle.
Oh, is that right?
A different department. I'm in geography.
And so, again, that sounds like it could have something to do with this.
In many ways, it does, because I specialize in Africa, actually, and spend a lot of time there. And it turns out that the banjo came from Africa with slaves to the New World. And we have some early images of Africans in the West Indies playing music. And we see these gourd-like instruments that resemble African instruments contemporary. You know, we still find in Africa the kowtang and the ngoni. And I'm part attracted to the banjo because I love to play it, and it sounds great. Not necessarily when I play it, but I love the sound of the banjo. And the fact that it comes from Africa, it's actually one of my banjos here I took back to Africa, and it had the pig head carved by a local carver.
Well, I was looking at that while you were playing, the one he played in the first tune. Yeah. What is it? I can't tell what it's an image of.
It's a bird. It's a ground bill. It's made of African rosewood, the neck. And I took it to the village where I do my research, and there are some carvers in that village. And so I gave them, the peg head was just one big, you know, block of wood. And I said, here.
Do something with that.
Could you make me a hornbill?
What's the body of the banjo made of? Is it also rosewood? It's beautiful.
The pot, the head of it, the round part is made of actually maple. But the banjo maker put a veneer of African rosewood around it. So you can't tell, but this is maple underneath, but this is African rosewood to match the neck.
And there's another carved figure, looks like, at the base of the neck.
Yeah, at the heel is a bird resting.
That's beautiful. It's a beautiful instrument. And actually, maybe I've had somebody play this on here before, but the concept of the fretless banjo was new to me. It obviously shouldn't have been, but it was. How did you choose that as opposed to
I have fretted banjos and learned to play the banjo on a fretted instrument. The way I play, I noticed I like to do a lot of sliding.
You can't do that on here.
You can do it, but you keep hitting up against these frets.
Yeah.
And as Matt was saying at the beginning, you can play these notes in between that have a nice kind of character in the right time, the right place.
Yeah, like the fretless banjo is a really vocal instrument. I mean, like it vocal in the sense it sounds like the human voice to me. I mean, when you really get into it, because you have that ability to do these little, you know, slides into and out of the notes, these tiny expressive gestures that you can't do when the frets are there.
Is there such a thing as a fretless guitar?
There is. They're really uncommon. I played one at a trade show about 6 years ago, and it's a very cool sound. It is extremely difficult to do any sort of cording on it because the shapes that we normally use on guitar rely on the frets. Like, you can't actually put your fingers effectively into that configuration most of the time if they had to be at exactly the point on the string that they'd need to be for it to be in tune.
So the frets maybe help to keep your fingers in position somewhat?
Well, the frets, the way the frets actually function is you're pressing the string down to the fret, and that becomes the point that sets the length of the string. Mm. So I have a range of, you know, half an inch where my finger could be and still produce exactly the same pitch. So, like, there's chords. The people out there in the rest of the world can't see this, but for those of you that play guitar, like A major, like open position A, where you've got three fingers, these should all be in a straight vertical line if it were going to be in tune and I had no frets. But obviously that's, as I discovered when I first tried to play guitar, that's not feasible.
Yeah, actually that answers a question I had a long time ago, having never played guitar myself. You do have that leeway, because I didn't realize what you're really doing is holding it against the fret, not against the fingerboard.
Right.
Yeah, so I've just learned something. And maybe somebody out there has learned something about the mysteries of guitar playing. I was thinking, Tom, while you were playing that last tune, and we'll have you guys play another in just a second here, that, you know, I'm keep threatening Tom Foe, who's another banjo player, that, you know, I if I were going to pick up an instrument right now, it would either be the cello or the banjo. He says, you're not going to do it. But one of these days, I'm going to surprise him. But I was thinking, you know, maybe I should try the fretless banjo, because I used to play the bass without frets. I never played the electric bass, and maybe I'd actually feel a little more comfortable with that. I don't know.
And you really should. You should take up the banjo. Tom Foe talked me into it also. I play a fretted banjo, but this style specifically that Tom plays for this, as opposed to like
Tom
bluegrass.
Bassett here.
Well, yeah, actually both yeah. Toms, as it turns out. as opposed to bluegrass banjo, which kind of feels like classical guitar and has this sort of roll.
I like that style too. Yeah.
But this, like, if you listen, you can hear at the beginning of that last tune, it's a melodic style, and just the motion is really, I find really satisfying for clawhammer banjo.
Well, it's more rhythmic,
more of a what?
Rhythmic.
Oh, rhythmic.
Yeah. This is dance music.
Yeah. Well, let's have a dance tune.
All right.
Yeah, let's do.
This was called Sandy Boys.
Young and the Fretless here live on Live and Local right here in our Studio F. We're on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. They'll be playing at Strawberry Fields in Urbana Sunday from 11 to 1. And I was just out double-checking on the weather situation. As you may have heard earlier, there was a tornado warning for part of our listening area. That has expired, but there remains a tornado watch in effect until 7 o'clock this evening for the following counties in our severe weather coverage area: DeWitt, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Ford, and Vermilion. There are other counties involved as well, but those are the ones that are in our severe weather coverage area. Again, the National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch for those counties until 7 o'clock this evening. Young and the Fretless are Lyle Konigsberg on the fiddle, Tom Bassett on the fretless banjo and banjo ukulele, which we haven't heard yet, Matt Croissant on the guitar, and Chris Strand on the bass. And Chris, I know you play in some other groups, as we mentioned earlier, and I'm kind of wondering if the although the answer seems maybe obvious to me, and maybe it is the answer, does the bass have a different role when you go from, say, mountain music to other old-time music to bluegrass?
That's a good question, but for the most part, old-time and bluegrass, it holds the same kind of purpose, I guess, is just kind of lock the fort down and keep the beat there and keep it strong and fill the space. And on the low end, when you got the banjo and the fiddle playing a melody and kind of reinforces the rhythm of the guitar and gives the guitar player a little more leeway as doing passing runs and whatnot when I'm just keeping the four on the floor.
Because Tom, when he was given a bit of the history of some of this music earlier, said, you know, the fiddle started and then the banjo got added and then it was just the two, and then somewhat controversially the guitar got added, and as Matt said, some people still resent that, but he hadn't gotten to the point where the bass got added. When did the bass get added to this kind of music?
I don't know if it ever did.
You're just here because you
felt
like I'm
along? Hey, Tom gave me a call, and I said, sure, I'll learn old-time music.
They used to use cello, too.
For really?
Same function, which you can carry around more easily.
Yeah, which is probably one of the main reasons why a lot of, like even in bluegrass, the bass was a commodity, I suppose, because they are so big and somewhat expensive, and it's a lot easier to put a mandolin in a case than a bass or a guitar or a banjo or a fiddle or, like Lyle said, a cello. But yeah, this is my first time actually playing this style of music, you know, in this project, and I'd heard it before but never really gave it a listening chance, I suppose. It was always in passing, you know, oh, that's cool, but I never really delved into learning it, and it's different than bluegrass in the fact that the melody is reinforced by two instruments at the same time, as opposed to bluegrass where you take a break and you hit the melody and then venture out beyond that. And
can you talk about that a little bit more?
As far as the differences between...
Yeah, when you say take a break, hit the melody, who plays the melody, that sort of thing.
Well, as you can hear, Tom and Lyle are both playing the melody together simultaneously, whereas in bluegrass, a lot of times you'll start a song and the fiddle will take the melody the first time, and then you'll go through however measures, 4, 8, and then the guitar will take it and do the same thing, and then the mandolin will take one and do the same thing, and then, but with their own variation. So you'll hit the head, or half of it will be that melody, and then after that you vamp or play whatever comes to mind or whatever you feel at the time.
The head.
And, yeah, so the main melody. And that's different in the fact that the melody is constant. It's always there, and it's always together. Sometimes the guitar plays it with it as well. And in bluegrass, there's a break from that. It's always there, but it's usually one instrument playing it at a time, or with the other instruments hinting at it. And I think that bluegrass kind of allows the musicians to kind of venture away from that melody, where here it's solid. I mean, that's the whole base of this music, is the melody. And it's kind of intriguing. The cadence is somewhat different, too, as to how the melody is phrased, and the voicings and the chord changes. They aren't just straight every time. You know, you may go to the four chord a little later than you would in a bluegrass tune. So it's interesting. It took me a little while to catch it, but I'm finally digging in and enjoying it.
So if the bass is the newest and perhaps still illegitimate member of this of this kind of music, what's stopping you from picking up the bow and playing the melody?
Nothing but lack of time to practice.
Oh, okay. As long as you're honest about these things. I was just thinking that might be kind of fun. I don't know if any contemporary old-time groups do that or not.
Let's say the closest thing to that I've heard is Edgar Meyer.
Oh yeah, he would.
Who I mean, it's his, a lot of his recent, at least the projects I've become aware of, are very closely related to this style of music. But he kind of takes the sort of the basic style and then makes it a little bit more, I guess, classical, classified. I don't know. You could pick an adjective form. For
classicalized.
It. Classicalized. I like that. Yeah. Where this, I mean, is straight repetition of the melody because it's dance music fundamentally, and in that he adds a little bit more variation and structure to it, and then he also plays the melody occasionally, which I couldn't tell you why, but it would really freak me out to hear a bass player do that in one of these bands.
Well, Edgar Meyer happens to be a really seriously virtuosic bass player,
yeah.
Which helps. I see that Tom Bassett has his banjo ukulele up here, or ukulele, as I recently referred to, because I was actually talking to a Hawaiian ukulele player who's a virtuoso on that instrument. But I guess since this comes from the mountains of the East, we can call it a ukulele.
Or a banjo uke.
Yeah.
So how about we're gonna play Glory in the Meeting House?
Okay.
The Young and the Fretless, live and live and local. Thank you. So having just talked about the banjo playing the melody, now Tom was on the chords. The rhythm machine on the banjo ukulele in the group The Young and the Fretless here live on Live and Local. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, preserving our nation's music heritage at the University of Illinois, now featuring new exhibits entitled A Century of Stories and Sounds from the Stage, Music, Dance, and Theater in America. More information is available at sousaarchives.org. I ran out while you guys were playing a little bit to see if I could find one of those Edgar Meyer tunes, because we've got several of his CDs in our studio, and I came up with a couple of the CDs, but it was taking me too long to find. There was a couple of tunes I had in mind where he seriously, plays at least as much of the melody as anybody else, and pretty aggressively at it too, and I didn't come up with them offhand, but you can check it out. Edgar Meyer, which I think is Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's got plenty of websites and so on. And if somebody wanted more information on The Young and the Fretless, where would they get that, Tom Bassett?
Well, they can come to our show.
And ask you, right?
And they can hear our music and buy our CD. And although we do have a website, Facebook page.
Yeah, say if somebody can't make it out to the show for whatever reason, you can either find us on Facebook, The Young and the Fretless, and if you become a fan of the page, or I guess it's liking it, they keep changing the terminology on me. You'll get notifications when we're playing. If you don't do Facebook, and that's fine with me, you can also send an email to youngandfretless, that's all one word, and it's at gmail.com. It's FRETLESS is fretless. youngandfretless@gmail.com, and then we can also contact you and let you know when we're playing, or if you have other esoteric questions about mountain music, we can take shots at those too.
You, since you build this, at least on the Facebook page, is Old Time Mountain Music on the Prairie, do you make any concessions to the prairie in either choosing the tunes or adapting the tunes for your ensemble?
We play some Illinois tunes.
Yeah, there's a pretty strong fiddle tradition in Illinois as well, with its own repertoire that's kind of localized. And we do a number of those. Do we have any of those on the...
Well, we've got one.
Maybe since we brought it up, maybe we should do that one.
Which one's that?
Yeah, it'd be John Dye.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Does that mean you have to pick up another instrument?
Yeah.
Oh, we're back with the banjo uke. Well, since we talked about it, we have to play it, right?
Yeah. And sure. Are we going to pair this with Ragtime Annie?
We could.
That sounds like a great idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody has to decide something here. I'm a passive listener.
So
to a point.
The first tune is not an Illinois tune, but then we'll go into the first tune's Ragtime Annie. And then we'll go into John Dye, which is an Illinois tune.
John Dye?
John Dye. D-Y-E, and then we might make it back to Ragtime Annie.
Whatever happens, right?
This would be a challenge to listen to the audience if they can detect the second tune in our medley.
Yeah, I sometimes fail at this test, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
I'm sitting here listening carefully. Thank you. Young and the Fretless here live on Live and Local, a mountain tune, an Illinois tune, and then I think we got back to the mountain tune, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I had a little bit of a crutch here because I got to see the sign that Lyle gave, which is to stick his foot out, says, okay, we're moving on to the next segment or the next tune, or we're going to stop now, and that's always... That was a new one on me when I first started to do this show. I'd occasionally gone out to see some live old-time stuff, and I'd see somebody stick their foot out and think, are they having a spasm, or what's going on here? And it turns out there's actually a purpose to that. The Young and the Fretless are fiddle player Lyle Konigsberg, banjo player Tom Bassett. He plays fretless banjos, hence the name Young and the Fretless. I assume that's got a lot to do with it, right? And then Matt Croissant on the guitar and Chris Strand on the bass. They're playing at Strawberry Fields Food Store Sunday from 11 to 1. And you're hearing them live in our studio here on Live and Local. I won't be here on Tuesday, tomorrow, but I'll be back on Wednesday where we'll be having a couple of features on the show, including a fabulous... mostly classical violinist, but there's a major qualifier on that. His name is Nick Kendall, and he'll be playing a new concerto by Chris Brubeck, as in the son of Dave Brubeck, with the Illinois Symphony Orchestra. But he also plays in a group called Time for Three, which stresses the bounds of classical music. A wonderful virtuosic trio, and a number of other groups too. So he's going to be in here playing some solo violin, and also a little bit of a feature on a film that's going to be at the Art Theater in downtown Champaign about the Mozart's sister. I forget exactly the name of the film, but that might actually be the name of the film. That's only showing, I think, on Wednesday and Thursday, and it sounds really interesting. And Mozart's sister is, you know, I've known her name, but not known much about her. Her nickname, anyway, Nannerl, which is always kind of interesting. So we'll talk about that on Wednesday as well. But we'll be off until you'll hear classical music during this hour tomorrow. It is Live and Local on FM 90.9. And Matt, you know, I kind of asked the other folks, two of the other guys, what they were doing. And they're busy teaching at the university when they're not playing. And I first met you as a high school clarinet player. Well, you were the high school clarinet player. I was conducting the youth orchestra you were playing in, and I probably asked you this one time before, but how and when did you start doing so much of this other old-timey kind of thing? I know you play some ukulele and some mandolin, and I don't know what all else.
Yeah, so I, after I graduated from college, I came back here and... eventually found my way into teaching music lessons at the Community Center for the Arts, which is in Urbana. It's in the old IMC. It's in the IMC building, which is the old Urbana Post Office building. But I teach guitar and mandolin and ukulele and bass and actually a couple of other things over there as well. And the school does classical music, but one of the things that's cool about it is it does... a lot of non-classical stuff as well, and there's a lot of old time kind of floating around in that place. And I found myself working with the Bodacious String Band, which is, you know, a group of kids 5 to the end of high school roughly, that does this sort of thing, like mostly old time string band music and some other world music. And that was kind of my introduction. I just got a call saying, hey, would you be interested in accompanying this group? I was like, well, sure, what do I do? I said, you'll figure it out.
And well, you did.
And yeah, eventually, sort of, I think. It turns out it's a really fun style to play in. A lot of guitarists find it tremendously boring, I think, because you might play, like in John Dye, for example, the tune we just did. I mean, the entirety of my part consists of... That's the whole song for me.
Hey, that makes it sound like maybe I could learn the guitar.
Yeah, and you can just keep it very simple, or you can start adding, you know... different bass runs and, you know, slight alternate chord voicings. And so you have, it's almost meditative. You have this opportunity to play these same four chords over and over and over again in a predictable cycle and find a way to make it new and exciting for yourself every time they roll around.
Well, I was thinking a little bit of that while watching Chris play, because I've seen a number of bass players and various old-time musics come in here, and it seems like a lot of the times you play a bunch of open strings and then vary it.
Yeah, there's little passes, like what Matt was talking about, to get to where you're going, or you pick up on certain notes in the melody and kind of play with those, or minimize what you're playing to just do your part. So, I mean, you don't want to play too busy, obviously. I'm playing bass in an old-time band. there's plenty of that going on.
Although if you were playing bass in some Western swing band, that would be a whole other story.
Completely different, yeah. I mean, you're looking at walking and moving around a lot more. I have kind of varied just playing like the 1-4-5 progression where I want to play my G open or my G here or my G here. So you kind of get to know your instrument pretty well as to what sounds good. I'll get bored playing it here, and oh, it sounds better here. And it's the same note, it's just a different voicing on the neck, which gives the bass a different tone because of the different diameter of the string and where it is on the neck and whatnot. So that's kind of interesting. It's kind of helped me learn my instrument a little better tonally, so to speak, playing the same note but in different positions and figuring out what sounds best when, even though it's the same.
Sure. Well, you got to do what you got to do to make sure you enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is that we're doing, including radio shows, and it makes my life a whole lot more interesting when I get have guys play live on the show, which I'm pleased you were able to do today. I'm pleased we finally connected, Tom. We sort of through my dropping of the ball, nearly didn't have you guys on here today, but I'm glad it worked out.
Me too.
Yeah. What's next? I think
we're going to sing a song.
Oh, you're going to sing a song.
Yeah, right. We've got these mics in front of us. Might as well use them.
Yeah. Enough of this talking, right? Let's do some singing.
which song? Well, I was thinking of doing
that. we could all sing the same song.
How about Red Rocking Chair?
All right. I like that.
Got no sugar, baby, now. Got no sugar, honey, baby, now. I laid her in the shade. I laid her in the shade. I gave her every dime I made. Stole my green back roll. Got no sugar, honey, baby, now. Who called me honey? Who called me honey? And who'll sing this song? The cradle when you're gone. We'll rock the cradle when you're gone. I'll rock that cradle. I'll rock that cradle and I'll sing this song. I'll rock the cradle when you're gone. I'll rock the cradle when you're gone. Ain't got no rocking chair. Got no sugar, baby, now. Got no sugar, honey, baby, now. Sugar baby now, got no sugar, honey baby now.
The Young and the Fretless, live on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. You can go hear them live and see them as well, of course, which you can't do on the radio very easily, at Strawberry Fields in Urbana, Sunday from 11 to 1. And you can go to Strawberry Fields Saturdays and Sundays at that same time and see somebody or another playing during that period, as we learned on this show. Here are some other events you can go see and hear live in our listening area. Tonight at 8 o'clock at Illinois State University, it's the ISU Chamber Winds playing in Kemp Recital Hall. That's in Normal, 8 o'clock tonight. Pianist Ian Hobson is continuing his series of the complete solo piano works of Robert Schumann with his program called Bachian Inventions. Tonight at Krannert Center in Urbana at 7:30. Harper plays the blues at the Alamo in Springfield tonight at 8:30. It's 12th night at Charleston Alley Theater. I assume that's Shakespeare's play in Charleston tonight at 7 o'clock. The ISU Brass Ensemble performs in Cook Hall on the ISU campus in Normal. That's also tonight at 8 o'clock. And Eastern Illinois University's Percussion Ensemble plays tomorrow in the Dowden Fine Arts Center in Charleston. That's tomorrow at 7:30. It's the Merce Cunningham Dance Company, the Legacy Tour, tomorrow and Wednesday at 7:30 at the Krannert Center in Urbana. The Parkland Early Jazz Combos at the Iron Post in Urbana tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Millikan University's jazz bands are performing in the Albert Taylor Theater in Decatur tomorrow night at 7:30. Laura McKenzie and Gary Rue play Celtic music on the Piper's Hut Concert Series at Heartland Gallery in downtown Urbana. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. The Hot Iron String Band, which Chris Strand plays in, is at the Clark Bar in Champaign tomorrow night. Oh, yeah, he says. 6:30. Were you planning to go?
Oh, yeah. I think I'll be there.
You think so? All right. Well, they might appreciate that. A faculty recital by ISU professor of flute, Kim Reisinger, and sax player Paul Nolan is tomorrow night at 8 o'clock in Kemp Recital Hall on the ISU campus in Normal. And lots of other things going on as well. Check your local listings, as they say. National Weather Service has issued a tornado watch for these counties in our severe weather coverage area until 7 o'clock this evening. DeWitt, Macon, Moultrie, Piatt, Champaign, Coles, Douglas, Ford, and Vermilion. You're listening to 90.9 WYNL-FM and HD Urbana with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Support also comes from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 3 to 6:30 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. More information is available at thecorkscrew.com. Thanks for listening to Live and Local.